how that God has plumb line ministries down through the ages. Christ works through them. And through those ministries, the people in that age are judged according to what Christ delivers through those people of flesh and blood. And I'm going to be very plain with you. In this age, you're going to be judged by the gospel I'm preaching you. Every one of you. And I'm going to tell you just exactly like Jesus told the Pharisees. You claim to follow Jesus. If you knew Jesus, then you'd know me. Be very plain with you. But what I'm ministering is the doctrines, living doctrines, and the living demonstrations of Jesus Christ. Period. And you'll be judged just by these things that are being preached and taught. When you stand before the Lord, the yardstick of your judgment will be how you receive Christ coming through the flesh of his minister. Okay. Oh. Oh. That's as plain as I can make it. You can listen to the tape this morning and you'll understand this. You'll understand this. But I don't really have to tell many of you that. Because the very moment the Lord began to move in me, he began to draw you to me by the Spirit, just like flies, just like bees to honey. And he drew many of you during a time when I was moving just in restoring the principle of Christ, getting ready to do this. But I must declare it to you, so my hands will be free of your blood. Because the fullness of Christ is being revealed in this age, and it's for you, each one of you. And the only way you can get it is by following the chosen men and women of God. Brother Brute, I said you thought you'd talk about you. No. You see, the true minister of God doesn't build a ministry for himself. He builds a ministry and then he goes to bringing it forth through other people. You see? And he'd begin to bring it forth through other people. And you begin to follow him and those other people and church and which he's moving through. First thing you know, you're part of that plumb line ministry. And then you begin to draw others. It's not a one-man ministry. It never has been. The only time that God ever uses one man is when that's all he can get to use is one man. And then his plan never can go to completion. Ooh, oh, oh. Jesus tonight as we move into our praises there before us. We haven't had much of it before up until tonight, but he showed me he wants to just cut loose with the gifts of the Spirit tonight. Tongue interpretation, prophecy, singing tongues, singing interpretation, spoken revelations, many of the other things that is working inside of you. So when you feel him sort of move on you there by the Spirit, that's the way he does it. You know he comes when he gets ready for you to speak. All at once you feel a sort of a gentle, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You just say, hath been given me to speak, and just let it build in you and just speak her out. You get a little bit out of order. Two or three of you speaking at one time. That's all right. We'll just let it go and maybe say, tell one to keep quiet and this and that and other until we get to working together. A lot of times what happens is this. When the spirit of prophecy hits a person, Jesus goes and dealing with a person to speak. He'll be dealing with this one over here real strong and maybe to bring a message in tongue, and he'll be on that one over there sort of light, you know, sort of light like getting ready to interpret. And this one he's going light on over here, gets striving. They speak out before this one bring a message, you know. And sometimes he'll go to moving on one person here, and the glory will go to going all around them, then everybody's going to want to speak, you know. But see, as you operate in this thing, you learn to discern. This is the reason why he doesn't care. Oh, he doesn't care if you're a little bit out of order. He wants you to break loose, and then he brings you in order by wisdom and knowledge. He doesn't do you like man does. Say, now shut up and be quiet. Get you to where you won't speak. He lets you take your freedom, and then he brings you in order. So you just go ahead, and whatever the Lord does through you, let him do through you, and let's just let it flow, all right? Now, you might also find yourself tonight moving as you move in this spirit of grace. You might find yourself in a little louder praises. I noticed some of you wanted to move that way this morning, and you sort of quenched it down a little bit because you're afraid you'd be out of order, and I just let you sort of quench it down a little bit because it wasn't time to release it. We'd have turned one of you loose, then all of us had ended up loose. Oh, but tonight he said, let her roll, and here we are, ready to obey him. But how are we going to do it? First of all, we're going to recognize him right before us, and we're going to sing our song that he gave us. We're going to see him right there before us, clothed upon and one with the Father. Now, why are we going to see the Father clothed upon him? Let me show you why. We know that Jesus and the Father is one. But he's clothed upon with the Father, head and hair, white as wool, white as snow. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father. Father, clothed upon him. And the workings of the Spirit of grace, the voice comes through Jesus. But watch me. The Spirit, the renewings of grace, comes from that white head of the Father. Just like that. That's where you get your clothing and bone from, and the renewings of grace. And you'll begin to learn that as you look at it. His voice will come, but the power of the Holy Spirit, even though it's moving in his voice, you'll see it coming from him and the Father right over the top of his head. That's where your powerful gifts of grace come from. It's right there. Just whew, whew, whew. Ooh. So let's all look at him right there before us. Say, Lord Jesus, see you right there alive.
I see you, Jesus, alive before me. Your head and hair white as wool, as white as snow. Clothed upon, one with my Father. Ooh, now just look at him there. Begin to feel his glory up here. Thank you. the garment on down to your feet, and your feet like brass burned in the fire. A golden girdle around your chin, body shining like the sun shining before me. Your living voice like the waves of many waters, clothing on and speaking through me. Feel them start now. Your old body that's one with my Father, upon me as clothed hath possessed me.
and the Father, you and me and I and you. Yea, I am heavenly blood, in which every living thing has died. Flesh, in which every living thing has died.
Oh, yeah. years have been. I see you standing there with snow white hair. The high priest of heaven and earth. And I know just what you said, and I believe it every word. If I give, you give back to me. Hundredfold and more than I can stand. You said you'd open the windows of heaven to me. According to your plan, by faith in your word, I now give in obedience to you. I give, saying hath been returned unto me, 'cause I know your plan is to give, and in giving unto thee it's returned unto me, and prosperity for me and my ministry. I see you standing there with snow white hair, the high priest of heaven and earth. First I give myself to you, then I give all you say. Whatever you require, I give to you today. Your plan of heaven, even though I don't understand, is to teach me to give firm. And then in my giving, you have chosen to bless me and bring a hundredfold of a blessing upon me. Now I know there's many ways that man does say, but I believe your way is true. So instead of holding back and trying to make it last, I give, Lord Jesus, to you. First I give my life, then whatever you require, if it be a widow's mite or alum, I give it to you. I know your word is true, that's a blessing, the harmack on me. You see the every need, and you know every hair. It's numbered on my head. You even see the sparrow that falls to the ground, and I believe just exactly what you said. Give and shall be given back unto me. I give it in obedience to you, that you change my life from receiving only, and teach me to give out to others. Then you direct my path with the light of your word, and you fill my life with prosperity, and you make everything I touch turn to gold. Lord, I choose your way to give. You did to your people long ago, how that manna fell from heaven and even sent the birds to feed your prophet Elijah. So I'm ready to give in your plan. I give my life first, then I give whatever you say.
makes me struggle about my need for even a little sparrow that falls to the earth. You see their every need, and even the hairs that are on my head, you number them to let me know that I am your most prized possession. In heaven and earth for this hour. With a few fishes and loaves, you that put money in the fish's mouth, and you that created heaven and earth and all therein, what am I and my little possession before you? Oh.
I choose your way, the one of glory and grace, in obedience and faith to you. 'Cause I know my way is death, and the end thereof is strife. So I choose the way of your life. Oh, heaven rolled back like a scroll. What is my little life to you? Oh, you said it is precious, more precious than gold, that I move my fullness through you. So all that I have and all that I deliver myself up to you. And they're arrayed more than Solomon's gold. And they're richer and richer each time it rains. You said I was like them. I believe your word, I say, hath been brought forth in me. And the glory that I feel, surely it's a heavenly feel of the ringing of your grace through me. Oh. Let's begin to ease back now toward your seats. The Lord begin to set your life in order tonight. Many of you have been really struggling and striving about your needs, not realizing the plan of God was to meet your needs through giving, through you giving to Him and letting Him take control of your prosperity. Not to struggle and strive, not to try to make things happen in your life, but to just simply give to Him, not to me, not to a church. Say, well, where is it going to? It's going to the secretary of the church. Where is it? Sister White or Sister Doc? Going to the secretary of the church, and I don't know where it's going from there, wherever the Lord said. But the main thing is this. Your giving must be given to Jesus Christ, directly to Him. And given in faith, exactly the way He said do it. He wants you to give in faith, expecting Him to fulfill exactly what He said He'd do. Now, many of you are hindered in this old thing. You feel condemned in making your confession that He hath returned it 100-fold, because you then, the devil tells you, you're saying something selfish. You're robbing Him of an opportunity of blessing you. As long as you come give to Him like He needs it, you're making a mockery out of Him. That's what religion does, make a mockery out of Him. He doesn't need what you got. Doesn't need a thing you have. He has possessed heaven and earth. Now I want us to get this right. He doesn't need a thing you have. The only reason He gives you an opportunity to give your whole life given is that He might in turn return it back to you and bless you. And if you do not come to Him and claim that, then you are letting the devil rob Him and rob you of the blessing that He has for you. He's chosen this way to make you prosper. Oh, but that'll be selfish. That's Satan lying to you. That's exactly who it is. You mean tell me if I come there and I give to Him, claiming hath been returned to me, all my needs met, hath been returned 100-fold, that that's not selfish? No, sir. That's the way He wants it. If that's the way He wants it, then that's the way I give it. Now, if you give it as works, instead of by grace through faith, you see, your gift is given to Him as an act of faith towards Him, that He might release His prosperity back on you. That's His way. Now, all other ways are ways of Satan. If you've been given any other ways, then you've been given by Satan's plan. But He's required now that you come and lay your life and whatsoever right at His feet. Because He needs you? No. But because He wants to bless you. Oh, and He wants to prosper you and move you into your ministry. He wants to bless you spiritually and financially. But He absolutely cannot bless you spiritually and financially unless you do it His way. Oh. the book of Revelation, John saw a lamb, the throne of God, a lamb having seven horns and seven eyes. I want us to begin to get an understanding tonight. We know the seven horns are the seven horns of suffering that Jesus did to fill all things. We've already been taught that. Now the seven eyes, he told exactly what they were. They were the seven spirits of God. The fullness of Godhead bodily dwelleth in him, Paul said. And the last three spirits of God, the spirit of burning or judgment, is the fifth one. The sixth one is the spirit of grace. And the seventh one makes it all work. The spirit of glory. Oh. Oh. Jesus won this spirit of glory in his seventh suffering. Grace brought in the sixth one. The early church could live under grace. But they had to continually under grace, they had to make their confessions and hold fast to their confession. But in the day that you and I live in, and what brings the kingdom in is these three workings of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of burning, judgment, burning out your old ways. Burning them out in love, if he can, but burning nevertheless. And then the spirit of grace, as your old ways are burned out, you're able to partake of grace. By grace through faith, everything you receive. And then the spirit of glory that keeps them working. Now, many of you have wondered why the power in this mantle and why you felt something different. The spirit of glory. Smite yourself just a little bit there and feel something. The spirit of glory that keeps grace working in your life. The spirit of glory and the spirit of judgment upon you that destroys all hindrances. Oh, and keeps grace being released out of your life. In the days of old, when our father's people would do a sin or find themselves wrong, they smote their chest and vowed to our Father that they'd not anymore do anything wrong. In the days of the Old Testament, when our Father's people under the law, when they did a sin or have found themselves doing anything wrong, or they found themselves coming short of the glory of God, they'd come before the Lord and they would smite themselves. Pow! And they just smite themselves right there where the Spirit was supposed to be, you know, to where they'd remember, put enough pain there to remember not to do that thing again, not to yield to that wrong. And when they'd find that they wasn't teaching their children just right and something was wrong in their life and they could see their children slipping away from God, they'd get before God and vow that they would teach them all that lies in them. And then they'd smite themselves to make themselves remember. You remember this smiting in the Old Testament? There wasn't but one thing wrong with that smiting of themselves. The pain soon went away. And they forgot it. And then they had to smite themselves again. But that smiting in the Old Testament was a type of the spirit of glory that smites you,
ooh,
and keeps grace working in your life, and keeps all the working of Christ coming forth in your life. But I love in Jesus, in the outer courts of heaven, was smote with fire for all of our wrongdom. Now with a spirit of glory and breath of half men, we smite ourselves and destroy all wrongdom. Hath been destroyed. The hindrance in my mind hath been destroyed. The hindrance in my spirit hath been destroyed. The diseases in my body hath been destroyed by the Spirit of glory that moves the life through the blood. Testament that smote themselves on the chest, they were considered the high-ups in God. Oh, they were the great men of God. Or the other, you know, the underlings, they had to make sacrifices. All of this, you know. But these were high-ups. These were great priests. They were considered the one that was moving the highest in God. All they had to do is smite themselves. Now he's made you king. This spirit of glory that keeps grace moving in your life. Oh, the love of God moving through our Lord in sufferings in the outer courts, hanging their suffering. Smoke by fire for a song in the outer courts of heaven. Now when our sin arise and seeks to overcome me, I smite with the mantle, breathing hath been destroyed. Hath been destroyed, all my evil desires. Hath been destroyed, all of my thoughts. Hath been destroyed, all the weaknesses in me. Hath been destroyed, all my sickness. You see what happens? The Spirit of glory makes those things in you that you receive by grace. If that Spirit of glory makes them live and work on the inside of you. The Spirit of glory is the same Spirit of Shekinah glory that overshadowed Jesus Christ and raised him from the dead. That's the same Spirit that keeps everything moving. The same Spirit that took his body and made it eternal now keeps you moving in that same eternal life. Oh, the way of grace through the Spirit of glory, a way of perfection is given to me. I smite my flesh when it seeks to overcome me and destroy all things, release Christ through me. Oh.
the way so easy through the Spirit of glory. It keeps eternity moving in me, and the eternal Christ that dwelleth in me. The Spirit of glory releases him through me.
To you, in the days of the New Testament, early church that we went through in our restoration, before the seventh suffering of Christ, when people would find themselves not walking in the Spirit, they would begin to smite themselves by confession, because the seventh suffering wasn't there. They would say, "I will walk in the Spirit. I will not sin." Don't you remember when we went through that? "I will not do that again. I will." And holding fast their confession, they could let grace work in them. But when that Spirit of glory, that seventh Spirit, was released, then that old covenant of having to say, "I will," was over with. It was finished then. You no more depend on your will. You depend on "hath been" the Spirit of glory. One flaw in the Spirit of grace in the sixth suffering, and that flaw was not in Jesus. The flaw was in the weakness of man being able to hold fast their confession until that thing of grace is worked out in them. The word flaw wasn't in grace. Flaw was in the weakness of man. So in order to destroy that last weakness, here come the Spirit of glory. You don't have to hold fast anything. You just smite it. Oh, hath been, and then you let it keep working. Oh, 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 oh. Testament before the seventh suffering, when Jesus, my Lord, filled all of ours, our Lord's people smote with confession, "I will not sin, I will walk in obedience." If you'll understand how the Spirit of glory takes everything and makes it perpetual, eternal. Took the dead body of Jesus laying there in the tomb, overshadowed it, whoosh, made it eternal. Now that same Spirit of glory, yes, Lord, is what smites death out of you and brings forth that eternal living of Christ in you. Oh! And he gave you simple things such as mantles to identify with, to where you get that Spirit of glory moving in you continually. Some of you have been smiting so till you've got certain parts of your life moving now continually. But don't just give up and say, "Oh, well, I got a little bit now. I'll quit." keep on until your whole body is consumed in the fullness of Christ. So how long we'll need this mantle? I don't know. Lord told me just keep it. Oh. Don't let a voice go to whisper and say, well, I'm perfect now. I don't need it. Some of you have been doing that, and it's very evident because you've been leaving your mantles at home. Oh. Well, I didn't say that I didn't need it. Well, you, by your actions, you did. We don't go by what you say. We go by your actions, don't we? Yes, Lord.